lines in the 1-2 to Lopez. Strike three called. He got three strikeouts in the inning, all of them called.
He gets Ryan O'Hearn. Fourth straight strikeout for Giolito.
The 0-2 to Cam Gallagher strikes him out. That's five strikeouts, and that's five in a row on the strikeout total.
Moore takes off. Giolito pitches, and Merrifield stepped out of the box and gave Giolito a free pitch. I think Witt heard everyone on the field saying step off, so he stepped out.
And that pitch is a strike called 0-1.
Oh, they're chirping now in there. Look at him.
Just threw out Ned Yost.
It's going to happen here. On balls and strikes, you're not allowed to chirp and argue.
Giolito has struck out 11, and five of them have been looking. And Ned just fighting for his team.
You know what? When the baseball season is going as bad as it is for the Royals, sometimes you just got to laugh. Great musical track choice for that, by the way. Chris Bowling.
Had to do it. Had to.
Larry David would be proud.
I'm sure he would be. He wouldn't be proud of those performances on the field.
No.
He can play. I just feel bad because, I mean, Brad Keller had such a great outing.
Yes!
8 innings.
I know!
4 Ks. Only one walk. But when you're going up against Lucas Giolito, you can't make a mistake. And that the way he's pitching right now and the way he's pitched against the Royals, you make one mistake, and that I thought he left the ball up.
Yep. Just takes one,
but it looked like it was going to be a flyout, but it just kept drifting over the fence. So Ned Yost just had enough yesterday, and he was done.
Well, I think he, by the way, let's bring you into the show. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City on another beautiful spring day. It's a little overcast today, but it's nice and cool. There's low humidity. We're going to have a great day today. Day to get out and work in the yard, play a little golf, go to your kids' games, whatever you got going on. Good stuff to do. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bowling is running the show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, my handle is at Brad K. Porter. That's at Brad K. Porter. If you want to follow Chris, at Chris _ Bowling. 2 L's, 1 G, at Chris _Bowling, 2 L's, 1 G. Before we get into the Royals, let's set up the show for today. Coming up at 9:30, our good friend Clint Scholes will join us from RoyalsAcademy.com. If you're interested in the future of the Royals, all those young stud pitchers and young hitters coming up and Bubba Starling and all that, all the minor leaguers, Clint Scholes is the best. He watches a lot of games on streaming services and takes notes and tweets out a lot of stuff. So Clint Scholes at 9:30, giving us a peek at the future Kansas City Royals. At 10 o'clock, Matt Derrick will join us. Matt from ChiefsDigest.com. I used to work with him for many years at a television station. Super good dude. We'll talk about the OTAs over the last few weeks, and we got the mandatory mini camp this week. Will Chris Jones show up? He'll be fined if he doesn't. I don't think he really cares. But we'll have to see if Chris Jones shows up. So we'll talk about that and more with Matt Derrick. At 11 o'clock, Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports will join us. He covers the National Hockey League. Tonight, Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. And the Blues are hosting the Bruins. Blues, with a 3-2 lead in the series, a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And by the way, I was going to say Stanley Cup Finals, but I read through Pete Blackburn's hot tips for hockey fans or people who are maybe new to hockey. And he said, you have to say final, not finals. So I learned a lesson there. So Pete Blackburn, I don't know if there's any Blues fans in Kansas City. I'm sure there are. Paul McGannon, I know he's a big fan. Paul, if you're listening. So at 11 o'clock, Pete Blackburn from CBS talking NHL. All right, let's start with those Royals. Okay, lost 2-0. Pitcher's duel. Brad Keller was awesome. Probably his best start of the season. 8 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, all came with 1 swing of the bat. 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. The 1 walk, again, good news for him and Jake Junis. Keep the walks down. 98 pitches, 66 were strikes. By the way, the home run he gave up, the 2-run shot, was the first home run he had given up in 42 innings. 42 innings. So he's figuring some things out. We talked about it with Mike McFarlane on Baseball Tonight yesterday, just kind of trusting his stuff, getting a handle on his fastball, better location, that kind of thing. Pretty damn good. And it all came in a loss because Lucas Giolito continues to dominate not only the Royals, but baseball. mostly the American League. Lucas Giolito, 7 2/3, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts. That's a career high. 111 pitches, 74 strikes, his ERA down to 2.28. Now, let me give you a couple of things about Giolito. I don't want to spend a lot of time on him because he's not one of our guys, but he's just been so spectacular, and he did it again yesterday. He has not lost a game or given up more than 3 runs in a start since mid-April. No more than 1 run in 6 of his 7 straight wins.
I think that's good.
That's above average. So it's not just the Royals. It's everybody. But in particular, he dominates the Royals. He won his 7th consecutive start. Ned Yost said Giolito has changed his whole delivery because he had struggled the last couple of years. He was not this. This is not what we were getting from Lucas Giolito the last couple of years. He got a little bit better last year. But Ned Yost said he's changed his entire delivery. That's a smart guy. That's smart coaching. When you recognize a defect, you change it. And hopefully your pitcher is willing to listen. Lucas Giolito was willing to listen. Mike McFarland told us yesterday his changeup is devastating. My God, when he pulled the string on some of those yesterday, it would have snapped my spine swinging at it. Because I would have swung at it 10 feet before it got to the plate. I'm just saying me, not like I would actually be out there. I have no talent for that. I'm just saying that's what it looked like yesterday. And as McFarland said, it's kind of Bugs Bunny-ish on the changeup. You swing 3 times before it even gets to the plate. Giolito, dominant in the start. At one point, he had 8 consecutive strikeouts from the start of the 2nd inning until the end of the 4th when Nicky Lopez popped up. In 4 starts against Kansas City this season, Giolito 3-0, 1.96 ERA. I mean, sometimes you got to tip your cap, I guess. He's doing this to everybody. But look at the Royals' numbers. The Royals have now struck out in double figures in 10 of their last 15 games. Folks, that's 149 strikeouts in the last 15 games. Ryan O'Hearn has struck out two or more times in 5 straight games. And as you heard in the open, Ned Yost got ejected. Now, the strike zone I thought was inconsistent. It doesn't matter. Lucas Giolito is getting the calls. I don't care. It's old school. If the guy's throwing strikes early, he's going to get the calls. I get the beef. There were some questionable calls, and people were putting up the pitch charts on Twitter. I noticed that throughout the course of the game. And there were questionable calls and reasons to beef. Jorge Soler had a huge beef. He threw his arms up in the air at one point and turned around. He's lucky he didn't get thrown out. But Ned Yost had to step up. And look, getting thrown out isn't always going to rally your team. It's not always the greatest thing to do. But when you've had enough, you've had enough. And this has probably been building over the last few games. But when your team is really struggling like the Royals are, and then they're giving the opposing pitcher an extra, you know, 1.5, 2 inches off the plate, you got to go. You got to march. They were already chirping from the dugout. He had to go. You got to do it. You can't challenge balls and strikes, but if you argue them, you're gone. That's the way it is. And I don't particularly care for the, and this is nothing against umpires. I think most umpires do a great job. It's a hard job, and they're really good at what they do most of the time. But I do not like the dismissive attitude of umpires. When you come out to argue, you can argue back. You can listen. But this turning the shoulder and this heel turn stuff, I don't have time to listen to what you, I just don't like that. It doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, but I mean, they always say balls and strikes, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
You're gone.
So, I mean,
I just don't like that attitude.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more in baseball tonight,
yep,
later on. But Yo said that, I can't remember the umpire's name, who's at home plate. He said he had been pretty good all day. There were just a few calls that he was frustrated,
yep,
with on certain occasions. But as you said, when a pitcher is going like that and he's consistently around the strike zone, is not erratic, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt,
right,
and get the calls. And that's just how it is in baseball. And
This is no comparison. I'm not comparing.
At least the game was under 3.5 hours.
Yes.
So I was pretty pleased with
Unlike
that.
Friday.
Yeah, and also, I mean, did you take your nap during the game like I told you to?
No, I wasn't able to. We had stuff to do. So no, I know that was a joke. If you missed the show yesterday, because I know not everybody listens to all 3 hours on Saturday and all 3 hours on Sunday, but I was making a joke about going home, and because I hadn't slept very well the night before, and I said, you know, sometimes I'll turn on a little golf, and I like golf, but I'll turn the sound down low where you can just kind of hear the swing and the announcers are real low. And Chris said, well, if you want to take a nap, just turn on the Royals game.
Then I was pretty spot on about that one yesterday.
Yes. Yes. Well, the Royals, not only did Giolito have 11 strikeouts, but Colome came on to close. He's been good. He's got 13 saves now. He struck out too. So the Royals struck out 13 times yesterday against the White Sox. It's just that it's the way it goes, okay? Royals and White Sox today at 1:15. Reynaldo Lopez, Glenn Sparkman. We'll break it all down at baseball tonight at noon. Of course, Sparkman, the last time against the White Sox, got tossed. Speaking of getting tossed out, he got tossed in the second inning because he popped Tim Anderson in the head with a changeup. He said it got away from him. He said he's got no beef with the White Sox. He's never really faced him. But here's the number. If you want, it's cloudy outside, but if you want me to pull down the shades and make it a little bit darker, going into the rubber match today, chance to win a series for the first time since, what, early April against Cleveland? The Royals' record in rubber matches going back to May 30th, 2018, so over a year, 0-13 in rubber match games. Oh, wow!
Oof! That's bad.
That's really bad.
That's tough to see, but...
Yeah.
As we've reverberated multiple times, this is what the season, a lot of people, at least not locally, people were trying to give the Royals, you know, and I did this as well. I thought it was going to be better than it was.
Yep.
I gave them, I think, 71 or 72 wins before the season. Clearly, I overshot that one a little bit, and Vegas was definitely closer with the over-under set at 59.5 wins for the season. But... I don't even know. At this point, it's like you can't say anything else because each day it's a different way
that
they're losing, or it's a pattern or a cycle, depending on who they're facing. But recently it's been strikeouts, and that's been a huge issue for this club.
Yep.
Now, granted, Giolito, I'll give them that one.
In the Red Sox series?
But I'll give them Giolito just because he has been – phenomenal against the Royals, and he's been one of the best. He's, I would say, the best pitcher in the American League right now.
Yeah, he's going to start the All-Star game,
so,
probably. That might bet, but
I'll give them that one. So
yep.
Whatever. It just sucks because, as I said before, because Brad Keller had such a great day on the mound, going 8 and having great command all day. Just one that he. It's not like he left it out of the. He was supposed to be down and away. That's what he said. He left it up outside, and Jimenez just went with the pitch, and it just drifted over the right field wall. But
okay, let me
look to the future.
Yeah,
that's all you got to say.
I had the Royals for 100 losses this season, but I think they're on pace for like 110, 111 right now.
I think it's 112, maybe.
112 now?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how about some positive notes, okay? If you consider trade possibilities a positive, you got to think about what you can get back. So... Richard Justice, MLB.com, has a list of 7 relievers who could be traded. Let me get the exact title. 7 relievers who could be traded. And there's a Royal on there. We've talked about it before. It's Jake Diekman. You know, his ERA is not spectacular. It's 4.10. His whip is 1.10. That's okay. But his K's for 9 innings, 13.33. That's pretty damn good. And his FIP is 2.96. He's only a... due $2.25 million this year, and there's a club option for next year at $5.75. So anybody that would want to trade for him would be in a good spot, and it'd be a low cost. And you might be able to get something back for Jake Diekman. You know, there's a lot of teams. He notes Richard Justice in the story. Potential landing spots. The Astros, as an additional arm, also makes sense for the Nationals or the Twins, who are interested in adding more than one arm. So,
I'd probably cross off the Twins just because within division. But if he's only going to be there for a half a season, and they
or
don't
even next
pick
year,
up,
it's not going to matter.
It's not a huge deal, in my opinion.
Also, potential relievers who could be traded: old friend, Greg Holland. Have you seen his numbers this year? He was awful last year. He had the holdout and didn't.
Yeah, he was not great last year.
Did not sign until midseason, and he was not good. His numbers this year with Arizona, how about this? 1.31 ERA, a whip of .968. Anytime you don't have a one in front of that point on your whip, you're pretty darn good. His K rate, 12.2 for nine innings. So he's doing well. He's, you know, he's age 33, but he still has a lot of value, and he's dominating right now. And he could, you know, potential landing spots for him, Braves, Nationals, would be the logical teams, according to Richard Justice. So if you're thinking about trade possibilities, Jake Diekman could be a hot commodity. Other good news for the Royals, Bobby Witt Jr., first-round draft pick last week, shortstop out of Texas, number two overall pick. His high school baseball team won the state championship yesterday. First state championship in school history. Now, I could care less if his high school team won a state championship. That doesn't factor into his talent level. But if you're talking about culture of winning, you might as well end your high school career with a state championship. He had a hit in his first at-bat. And then he had that weird... I don't know if you saw the videos posted on Twitter. There were people posting videos from the game. He was... There were two runners on, and somebody drove one to the outfield. A runner scored, and Bobby Witt rounded third and got the stop sign and didn't quite see it in time. So he overran it, tried to come back, and got pinched at third base. Base running mistake. But if you're a future Royal, base running mistakes might be in your future because the Royals make them. Plenty of them.
Yeah, that would be a common theme.
Yep.
For Bobby Witt and the Royals if that did happen. But hopefully he gets that fixed.
Yes.
And he will definitely probably fix that when he gets to the minor leagues.
Other good news for the Royals. We keep talking about Bubba Starling. Ned Yost is even talking about Bubba Starling. We know if he stays healthy, he's coming up at some point. That is going to happen. So I've been watching the Bubba Tracker, the Omaha Storm Chasers page. Last night, Bubba Starling, 2 for 2, scored 2 runs. Batting average is up to .346. Over his last 10 games, Bubba Starling hitting .378, going 14 for 37, 7 runs scored, a home run, 6 RBIs, and a couple of stolen bases. He is forcing the Royals' hand. It is going to happen. Ned Yost has all but said it this week. He said, yeah, well, he's playing well enough to get up here. Just got to figure out the 40-man roster situation. So Bubba Starling's going to be here.
There are pieces you can move around in that 40-man. There's no one that is not expendable on that 40-man.
Yes. So that's good stuff for the Royals. A couple of other fun little notes here. Big Slick KC, we've been talking about that for a couple of days. All the guys, Rob Riggle, Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis, David Koechner, Eric Stonestreet. The final numbers from the weekend, they posted at the poker event last night, and it got all over Twitter. This weekend, those guys, the Big Slick KC, the softball game, the poker tournament, the auction, the party, this year they raised over $2.2 million for Children's Mercy Hospital. For the 10 years total, well over $10 million. So shout out to all of those guys. There was also a great video. Paul Rudd was kind of, you remember the NFL awards when Paul Rudd came out to present the NFL MVP award? And Paul Rudd walked out on stage. He had his jacket on. It looked like a nice jacket. And then it came time to announce the award. He said the award for the NFL MVP goes to, and then he turned around and he has Mahomes and a 15 on the back of his suit jacket. It was awesome. It was great. So last night, Paul Rudd brought out the jacket, and Patrick Mahomes signed it for him. Thought that was awesome. And then Travis Kelce came over to sign something else, which I'm not going to describe on the air. You can find the video on Twitter. It was hilarious, but not appropriate for radio.
I think you should tell us, Brad.
No, that's okay. He was going to sign somewhere on his pants. I'll leave it at that.
Nice.
So good stuff.
That might be a little foreshadowing for Bowling Bites.
Yeah, okay. All right. That'll work.
But
Big Slick, are we doing that at 11:30?
Yeah, we'll do it at 11:30.
Bowling Bites at 11:30.
Oh, yeah. We'll have fun.
If you're not a regular Sunday listener, we have Bowling Bites. Chris picks out sound bites from the week. Interesting, funny, weird. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Thought-provoking.
I don't know. I don't know what they are, so we'll have to find out. So congratulations, Big Slick KC, Children's Mercy Hospital, and all the celebrities from Kansas City and outside of Kansas City who flew in for the event. $10 million in 10 years, and this weekend, $2.2 million. Good stuff. All right.
I got one more thing.
Okay.
about the Royals, going back, kind of rehashing that. When you watch this team, you know, you saw Brad Keller pitched very well yesterday. A young arm that is supposedly going to be here for the future, who's for the rebuild. Be selfish when you watch this team. Watch it on an individualistic level. And what I mean by that is don't care about what the team's – if you care so much about the team's overall winning, you're going to be highly disappointed by the season. But take it game by game and see and root for the individuals on the team and help make sure that their look at it in the sense that their maturation is the most important thing in the grand aspect of the Royals' future. And if you look at it that way and you see it that way, you'll be – I think you'll get a lot more fulfillment out of watching this team or maybe not fulfillment, but you'll see what they're maybe trying to do for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like before the season when we talked about Mahomes this year before we knew what was going to happen in terms – before everything, before they won the division and went to the AFC Championship, I think most people would have taken – if. As long as Mahomes has a good season and looks like he is maturing properly, I don't really care as much about the winning. Now that they won the AFC Championship, of course, they are. Everyone has expectations now. But before the season, if you would have said, okay, the Chiefs are going to go 9-7, but Mahomes is still going to throw for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns, you would have taken that, right?
Sure.
So look at this season with the Royals on an individualistic level. How is Mondesi? How is Dozier progressing? How is Keller pitching on the mound? I think if you look at it that way, you're going to see a lot more positives in
this
team.
Absolutely. That's a good way to look at it. Because there ain't going to be a lot of winning the rest of this season. There just isn't. Fun Chiefs notes. Since you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, okay, Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the cover of the new Madden football game, right? So several people were posting on Twitter yesterday. There were video clips of a new feature they added just for Patrick Mahomes. The sidearm throw will be a feature in Patrick Mahomes' player, I don't know what you call it, biography or player skill set, I guess. So Madden, if you have the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes will have the ability to throw sidearm passes. Now here's where it gets funny. So the Chiefs traded, or rather signed linebacker Darren Lee a few weeks ago. Former Jets linebacker, right? So the video clip goes up on Twitter of Mahomes in the video game throwing sidearm. Darren Lee, at DLeeM68, I don't know what that means, he tweeted back, quote, tweeted back to Mahomes, quote, "Can you stop doing this during practice? I thought it was a myth, but Jesus Christ, bro." It's Darren Lee, and he had the laugh-crying emoji. He followed that up with a quote. I don't really understand this, but I'll take it. Quote, "Patrick is the Patrick to my SpongeBob. I'll never talk ball with him on game day. Just SpongeBob quotes." And then Darren Lee, who has quickly become a fan of Patrick Mahomes, posted his own video of, you remember the no-look pass to, was that DeMarcus Robinson who caught that? The no-look pass, he posted the video with the quote, "Do people not get how ill this is? Laugh out loud." So Darren Lee is getting, you know, as a new linebacker who had played for the Jets, seeing Patrick Mahomes every day in practice, is basically in awe of what he's doing out there.
Seems to have a lot of fun and being funny.
Yes, yes. And I know Tom Martin from KCTV posted a video earlier in the week that got posted on every sports website in the world of Mahomes at practice. He was standing behind a player so he couldn't see it, but he appeared to flick it almost underhanded, and it came out, it looked like it was coming out at 100 miles an hour. Just freakish. So the Chiefs are having some fun. They get the mandatory minicamp this week, and again, we'll see if Chris Jones shows up or is a no-show. I got more stuff, but we are coming up on a break, so I'll save it for later in the show. We got some local kids who are high school track and field stars here in Kansas City who won national championships this week in the NCAA. We had three do it. I'll get to that. Also, pick up a copy of the Kansas City Star today. It is the big Scholar Athlete of the Year awards. They pick one boy and one girl for the winners for the year, and then they pick somebody from every high school. And it's one of my favorite sections of the newspaper all year long. So all the folks at the Kansas City Star, I know you guys put in a lot of hard work on the High School Scholar Athlete Awards, and congratulations on another great edition. Go pick it up. It is one of the best things they do for this city. I got football recruiting stuff, but I'm going to get to all that later. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, talk about looking at the bright side of the Royals. We got bright spots in the minor leagues. And the man who knows more about it than, anybody that I know is Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com. Great follow on Twitter. We will talk with him next. You are listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sunday, a little Sunday vibe for you. Here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Another great spring morning. Yesterday was awesome. Today's going to be nice and cool. I saw Jeff Penner, 41 Action News. His forecast says during the game today, the Royals game out at Kauffman Stadium, if you're going, it's going to be 75 to 80 at the beginning, and it's going to drop down to 70 by the end. So, nice weather if you want to get out to the K and take in a ball game. Speaking of the Royals, we're going to talk about the future of the Kansas City Royals right now with our good friend of the program, Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com. Clint, how are you on this Sunday morning?
Oh, I'm doing well. Nice and rested. Nice, beautiful day out. Can't beat it.
I got to ask you this because I follow you on Twitter, and I am going to encourage all Royals fans to do so, at Clint Scholes, S-C-O-L-E-S. You're tweeting throughout the night on every level of the Royals minor league system. How many games are you streaming or tracking or just following throughout the course of a night?
I usually pick one game to watch just based on whatever pitcher that I must that I'm able to watch that night, and then I track the other three games that are going, and then live my life as vicariously through the Royals as I can, I guess.
Well, let's get into the prospects. Before we get into the new ones, let me just hit Bubba Starling real quick. I'm kind of beating that drum, and so is everybody else. Heck, Ned Yost is even talking about it. It's getting close to for him to come up. He's hitting over 340, almost 350 now, and I know that doesn't mean a lot, but he's putting up good numbers. He's staying healthy. We've seen the highlight reel catches and throws he's been making the last week and a half. Is what he's doing now, do you believe he'll have the ability to make that translate to the major league level? I know not the same numbers. He's not going to come up here and hit 340, but I mean have that kind of positive game that we've been waiting for the past 7 years?
He's playing at the best level he's ever played as far as hitting. The defense and all that's always been there. The athleticism's still there. For him to have his best shot, he's performing at his best level right now. Does that mean he'll be a major leaguer and a suitable major leaguer? Only reps will tell that. But for him personally, he's playing at the best level or hitting at the best level that he has throughout his minor league career, making the best amount of contact. I don't think he's impacting the ball as much as he used to, but I think that's a give and a take. He's cut down the strikeouts to get to where he's at right now. Line drive swing, lots of line drives in there, and then the occasional home run. So for him to play, and I agree right with you guys, I think it's time for him to come up and then put Billy on the bench a little bit and move him around. With Witt and his versatility and Nicky Lopez's versatility at play second and short and Mondesi maybe needing a day off every now and then, there's time. There's playing time to be had there. So I think it's time for him to come up and see what we have.
Yeah, and that's what the Royals have to figure out because when he comes up, I'm saying when, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to come up. When he does, he's got to play. He can't just be twice a week resting a guy. He's got to play, and other guys are just going to have to wait. Like you said, Billy Hamilton will just have to wait. looking at some of the young pitchers we've been following all year long since the Royals loaded up on college pitching last year and this year as well, and a lot of college players. Was watching your notes on Jackson Kowar the other night. He is still in single A. Had a rough start, gave up 3 runs in the first inning, but then really locked it down. And yet 5 scoreless after that, 6 innings, 8 hits, only a couple of walks and 5 strikeouts. So that's what you like to see from a young guy. If they struggle early in a game, get that out of your head and start getting back to what you do and striking guys out and not giving up runs.
Yeah, with Kowar, he's kind of a guy who can work backwards. And so when you're in the minors like that, his best pitch is a changeup. He can still run his fastball up to 98 at times. So he's still got a lot of heat, but his best pitch is really his changeup to me. And that's a pitch that he gets to use, the second, third time through the order more then early in a game, sometimes they're just trying to establish that strike zone, establish that fastball. So he might get hit a little bit early, but then once he gets that changeup introduced into the game plan, and then he can really mow through a lineup. I think that's what you saw last night. I didn't get a chance to watch the game, but just going from the results and seeing what, you know, giving up four or five hits in the first inning and then locking in, that's usually what's going to happen with him. And they're still working with the curveball. I think he's got the highest upside of all the pitchers, but maybe the lowest floor as well until he gets that curveball refined and find that third pitch. But, yeah, the fastball, the changeup, and the movement that it features, they're two good pitches to work with.
We're speaking with Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Clint Scholes, S-C-O-L-E-S, talking about the Royals minor leaguers and the future and what it looks like. We talked about Jackson Kowar. And maybe I make this mistake, Clint. I kind of tie him to Brady Singer just because they were both Florida kids, Florida Gators. They were both drafted last year by the Royals, but Singer right now is a step ahead because he's already been bumped up to Double-A. Got knocked around a little bit. But is Kowar one of those guys you see as progressing to Double-A at some point this season?
Yeah, I think you'll see Lynch, if Lynch is healthy or gets healthy, I think you'll see Kowar and Lynch get there at some point, probably a little bit after the second half of the season starts. It's really going to be a test of where the Royals think. In the past, they've moved guys along pretty fast, pitchers, and they said last year they weren't going to do that with these guys, but then we've already seen Singer bump. We just saw Wilmington finish with the first half title. The Naturals aren't going to be in the mix in the first half. Do they want to get them in the second half? To do that, they're going to need starting pitching. So really, it's where they value that. Do they value the development time with Kowar and getting him to work on that curveball more, or do they value winning at the Double-A level and bump him up? It'll be a real test to kind of see and test what they said they were going to do last year. So that's interesting to see where the Royals will be coming from. If Lynch is healthy, he left his last start shaking his arm. Hopefully it's nothing big. They haven't done an MRI. They don't think it's anything big yet. He's not long to get to Double-A. He's at the level that the three are performing right now, Singer and Lynch are ready for Double-A. I'd still like to see Kowar move, but work on his curve a little more.
Well, that will definitely be a positive sign because the Royals at some point – yeah, I don't think it'll be this season, but next season they're going to need some of those arms. You mentioned Wilmington winning the first half title. I think, is Lexington close?
Yeah, they're only a game and a half out.
Yeah,
they're in second place right now.
Well, talking about Wilmington, you know, we put a lot of attention on Singer and Kowar for good reason, and David Lynch as well. I think the guy that gets overlooked, at least by average fans, but certainly not by you, is Kyle Bubik, who again the other night was dominant. Six innings, six hits, no runs, one walk, and 10 strikeouts. So going by your numbers here, hopefully I'm reading your numbers correctly, 104 pitches, 73 strikes, and he had 14 whiffs in the game. So Chris Bubik doing some good stuff down in Wilmington.
Yeah, and that's just his third start there. He started in Lexington. He's about, even though they all came drafted last year, he's about a year or 6 to 8 months to a year younger than the other guys. He's a little bit younger age-wise. But as far as stuff, he's got good stuff, 90-94 with his fastball, very good changeup. The curveball's really been coming forward for him. He offers a lot of deception with his leg kick and his delay. He kind of does like a Clayton Kershaw-type delay with his leg kick and arm, long arm back and pause, so he can really kind of mess up a hitter's timing. So there's a lot to like there. It's just interesting to see because he doesn't, you know, he works 90 to 94. That's good velocity, but it's not outstanding velocity. So it's just interesting to see if the strikeouts that he was doing in Lexington remain now when he's in Wilmington. And the first two starts, they weren't really there, but then this last one, they bounced back up. So he'll be fun to watch all year.
We're speaking with Clint Scholes, RoyalsAcademy.com, about the Royals' prospects in the minor leagues and what the future may look like for the Kansas City Royals. I heard Assistant General Manager J.J. Piccolo on the radio this week, and he was asked about some of the minor leaguers. And here's a player I have not followed that closely, but I know you have, Evan Steele. I know he's had some injuries over the last couple of years and hasn't been able to pitch a whole lot. But the Royals like what they're seeing, and I was looking at the numbers that you posted the other day. 5 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. So Evan Steele, a guy that may not be big on the radar, but somebody, if he's getting his health back, can be another good piece for the Royals.
Yeah, definitely. He's a second-round pick from 2017. They thought, obviously, really highly of him to give him, I think, about $750,000 to sign. He came out of Chipola Junior College, and I think they overworked him. He threw over 140 pitches his last start there.
Oof, and, wow.
And so then he encountered some shoulder pain last year, had to have surgery. So he missed all last year. But when he was right, and JJ told me that, you know, his stuff is back, he's 93 to 95 with kind of a low three-quarter arm angle. At the time when he was drafted, he had a good changeup and curveball, according to his coach at that time when I did my draft report. And so he offers a lot of deception from his arm angle and then good velocity there. So that's another left-hander to really watch. And someone that the Royals, when they drafted him, were pretty high on, and then he hit that little bump. So hopefully it's just one little bump in the road, and then he can kind of get rolling with the rest of the college starters they have.
You mentioned he threw 140 pitches in his last college start, which is just mind-numbing. But as I have learned over the years, college coaches have one job, and that's to keep their job. And if they got to run a guy out there for 120 and 130, and I think a lot of us last night were watching that Vanderbilt game. I didn't start out watching it. But as the tweet storm blew up about this this young kid pitching there, Kumar Rocker, hopefully I'm pronouncing that first name correctly, Kumar Rocker, no-hitter, 19 strikeouts, but 131 pitches. Clint, I get it. I mean, you want to give a guy a chance at a no-hitter, but to me that's a little bit too far in my book.
Yeah, I mean, I looked it up today this morning, actually. I think since 2014, there's only been seven major league pitchers go 130 pitches or more. So in the start, and that's the last 5 years. I mean, in the last 2 or 3 years, you're probably only talking one or two guys. It's nice. It's the regional. They want to keep their season alive. But if you're going to do it to, you know, possibly jeopardize his future earnings, then I don't agree with doing it. I talked to Chipola's coach at the time with Evan, and he said Evan yelled at him he wasn't coming out. So, I mean, that's one thing. You know, he said, I'm not coming out of this game. You know, so maybe that's a little bit on Evan, just as much as a coach it was in that situation. But, it's. I think at 130, you're getting right. You know, you're at the top of it right there to pull a guy. So but it's outstanding to watch at the same time. It's hard to turn away when a guy's striking out 19 and got a no-hitter going.
Yeah, and this was – they beat a Duke team. They had to beat because Vanderbilt was facing elimination, and they had been beaten, what, 15-0 the night before? Something like that. So
yeah, like 18-3.
18-3,
like that,
yeah. I knew it was big. So we're speaking with Clint Scholes, RoyalsAcademy.com, future Royals, and the prospects. Kyle Isabel is another pitcher we're watching closely. But as we noted yesterday on Baseball Tonight, he's been put on the DL. Was he hit in the face on a comebacker? Is that what happened?
He's in center field. And he took a ball off the head. He dove for it and took a ball off the head. I don't know what the exact injury was, if it was a hamstring or concussion or what, but I don't know what the final diagnosis was. I know he's been down in Arizona working, rehabbing his way back. He was in Kansas City a couple of days ago, probably getting his final, hopefully getting just his final checkup or his new evaluation there. And then hopefully he'll be ready pretty soon. I know he was a couple of weeks ago when I talked to JJ about it. I haven't gotten an update since, but he was off to such an outstanding start in Wilmington. It's really too bad that he ran into that injury, but they're just playing it cautious. They don't want it to something to linger and be a continual problem.
And I apologize. I said pitcher. I meant center fielders, as I was corrected. I have my list of pitchers and position players here. I had them on the wrong list. So that's totally my fault. Another player we're watching. I know some of the young guys in single A that were putting up big numbers last year had really struggled at the start. Some of that starting to come back a little bit. As you noted, Mabus Valoria right now is red hot, five straight multi-hit games, 13 for 18 in that stretch, and he's brought his batting average up 62 points in that time. So maybe after the slow start, the guys are kind of getting back on track a little bit.
Yeah, Mabry says he's not hitting a lot of extra base power, but he's getting hits, and for a catcher, that's big. I mean, he's still a young guy. He's playing at AA, so that's good for him to kind of rebuild his season back up. The guys at Wilmington are still struggling, though, unfortunately. MJ, Sully, and Nick Prado, they're still struggling to hit. But, you know, they need time to adjust, you know, get it down. I think Matias has a modest little 5 or 6 game hitting streak going, which isn't great, but it's compared to what he was doing, it's much better. So that's a step in the right direction. MJ had a good, like, a week period there last week, and now he's kind of struggling back again. You know, they're just all different problems. They're not the same problem with each guy. With Mabry in particular, it was just a lot of bad luck. He was hitting a lot of line drives right at people, and then I think he probably started to feel the pressure and then expanded his zone. Now he's back into it and seems to be, you know, finding the stroke. He lost his multi-hit streak last night, but he still had a hit and got hit by a pitch and reached base one other time. So he's kind of in a groove now, and hopefully it just continues till the end of the year.
We're speaking with Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com about prospects in the Royals system. All right, Clint, we know the big names. Do you have a couple of others that may be under the radar that are having great seasons that we should keep an eye on over the next few weeks and couple of months?
Well, I mean, not really under the radar because he's a second-round pick, but Jonathan Bolin for Lexington's been outstanding this year. Around a 3 ERA, striking out over, you know, a strikeout per inning, hitter per inning. So he's doing an excellent job. Kind of a two-pitch guy, needs that third pitch, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Lynch or Kowar get the bump to Double-A if he's their replacement at that level. Guy I really like is Johansi Morel, a guy that they traded for in the Herrera deal last year. And then, there's not too many. Otherwise, we'll see some of these draftees that they just taken. They just took. There's some real development there, and there's some guys down in Latin America. They're going to sign Eric Mejia. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I think Eric Pena, an outfielder here on July 2nd during the international signing period. That, you know, is going to get their largest international bonus ever here on July 2nd, and they got some guys that are coming at the lower levels. They just obviously added with the draft with Bobby Witt, so it's about just building and building and adding players, and then hopefully you can get these guys all to come up, or a few of them to come up at one time, to kind of rebuild this team, because they're a long ways away at the major league level if their record's any indication.
Well, I'm not getting that Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, you know, progressing through the minor leagues feeling quite yet, but I'm almost there, Clint. I'm getting more and more excited as I watch these numbers roll in every night from these kids down in the minor league level.
Yeah, it's fun watching guys win together. You know, even the Wilmington guys aren't hitting that well, they certainly are pitching, and there's some good pitching at both the low level and Double-A level, and with the guys that they just taken in this draft, it's going to just keep adding to that.
All right, if you want to keep up on all the Royals minor league prospects and who's progressing and who's regressing, you can get it all. Follow Clint Scholes. You can read his stuff at RoyalsAcademy.com. And he's a great follow on Twitter, at Clint Scholes, S-C-O-L-E-S. Clint, I thank you for your time. I know you put in a lot of hard work tracking these guys, and we appreciate all the great information.
No problem. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too.
All right, that is Clint Scholes, RoyalsAcademy.com. So there are bright spots to come. As Chris noted earlier, don't necessarily look at the win-loss record for the big league club. Look at individual performances. You can also do that with the minor league guys by following Clint Scholes, and he has updates all night, every night, at almost every level. It's an amazing amount of information that Clint provides for his followers. All right, on that note, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will wrap up hour number one, and then we'll have two more to go. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just a couple of minutes left in hour number one here on this edition of Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Chris, I forgot to ask you before we got into this segment, what time do we need to be out? Is it 56:50? Oh, we got like 40 seconds. See, this is what happens when I don't ask. All right, so we'll set you up coming up next hour, 10 o'clock. Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. We'll talk Patrick Mahomes and the no-look pass available in the new Madden football game.
No-look passes, baby.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll be back in just a minute. We got two more hours to go. Please stay with us. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.